Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
So we're in this series of Honey, I Shrunk the Church. And what I love is we're going into preaching about connection, being in connect groups and being in connection with each other. And, you know, this actual topic is kind of easy for me to talk into and speak into and talk about, because being around for this long, I feel like I just live it. I feel like I've just gotten to a place where, like, why wouldn't you go to a connect group? And so, you know, here tonight, just let God move on your heart. If you're, whether you're in a connect group, whether you're connected or not connected, just let God move in your heart and see what he has for you. I love this series, Honey, I Shrunk the Church, that Paul Churchward brilliantly came up with the title of. What a brilliant man you are, Paul. Do what? Oh, okay, well, he is the bishop, Bishop Paul. And actually, I got a word for you during worship, and I wasn't going to do it, but I want to tell you now, is that everything you've done to this point, you're a brilliant man. God's used your gifts incredibly, but that's not it. And God has not brought you to the pinnacle of your career. And to know that the gifts that he's given you, even though utilized well, your brilliance is utilized well, your creativity is utilized well, anything that looks cool about C3, Paul had something to do with it. And so what I want to tell you is that that's not it. There's so much more God wants to show you, so much more that God wants to do in your life and in your family. And your beautiful wife, Audrey, who's an incredible worship leader, you guys are made to make an impact, not in just the creative world, but in the church as a whole. So that's not it. God's not done with you guys. Love the church words. Incredible people. So I figured that we, as a church, we need to speak into things that the world is actually coming against. And right now we live in a world that is so lost in and doesn't know how to connect. Like, one-on-one human interaction is scary for most people. And that's actually why most people are afraid or won't go to a connect group, because it's outside of their comfort zone. And so why does the church exist? The church exists to be the salt and light in the world. And so what we have to do is preach and speak into the things that the world is not. And so I want to play a song, because it exemplifies kind of where the world is at right now. And it's by One Republic, and it's called Can I Get a Connection? Go ahead, guys.
These days, my waves get lost in the ocean. 7 billion swimmers, man, I'm going through the motions. Sent up a flare, need love and devotion. Traded for some faces that I'll never know, notion. Maybe I should try to find the old me. Take me to the places and the people that know me. Trying to just connect, thinking maybe you could show me. There's so many people here, then why am I so lonely?
Can I get a connection?
Good friends, hard to find, let's face it. Buy the perfect home when there's a flood in the basement. Need a couple dollars now and I ain't trying to chase it. Kids from Oklahoma, man, we don't waste it. I'm just trying to paint the picture for me. Something I could give a damn about in maybe 40 years. And I've been ready and willing and able to edit the story. Cause there's so many people here to be so damn lonely.
The whole point of the song is, you know, he says, it's hard to make friends. Can I get a connection? I'm so lonely. And this is the state that the world lives in. The world lives in a lonely place. In fact, when the U.S. Surgeon General was asked what the biggest disease in America, he says, it's not cancer, it's not heart disease. It's the pronounced isolation that so many people are experiencing that is the great pathology of our lives today. And what a sad place to be in. And so that's where we come in. That's where the church comes in. And that's how we be salt and light in a lost world. The other thing is Fortune Magazine just reported this just in May, so only a few months ago, that nearly half of all Americans feel lonely. And it's young people who in particular are experiencing the brunt of the pain. They said that the survey found that younger Americans are hit harder by the loneliness. The generation, so if you're born between mid-1990s and early 2000s, you're the Z generation. You're the ones that feel lonely the most. And then if you're the millennials, meanwhile, they're next. And the baby boomers and the greatest generation scored, the baby boomers scored just below the American average at 42.4%. So all that to say is that we live in a world where people are lost and lonely and they just don't know what to do, how they got there, and why it is that they're there. And here's the incredible news. You and I are the answer. This is what the church exists for, and this is what we are here for, and this is what Jesus has called us to do. So the title of my message tonight is Devil Disruption. The reason why the devil does this is because how many of you know he comes to kill, steal, and destroy? So his purpose on this earth is to take people out, to kill their dreams, to steal their joy. And what we have to do is rise up and disrupt his plans as the church. We're called to disrupt the devil's plans to kill, steal, and destroy. Even Jesus knew he could not make an impact on the world, so he called his 12 disciples. I want to read in Luke 5:1. It says, if we can go there. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked to put it out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the boat to come up and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and says, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, and they left everything and followed him. Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll fish for people. So Jesus' answer to this world is people. The most important thing, as he goes out, you know, Jesus is in this place. He knows he has the answer for salvation, but how's he going to get it across? How's he going to do it all by himself? He calls 12 disciples, and the first disciples he finds, he teaches. It's about people. And so if it's Jesus' first thing that he does, to find some people to follow him and reproduce him, how much more important should it be for us to be doing that? So this is how we do it. We have to get intentional and strategic. Because listen, there's a lot of churches out there, right? There's many churches in North County, many churches in San Diego, but we still have a lost world out there to reach. There's still empty seats here, which means there's still a lost world out there to reach. So how do we get intentional? Our strategy, three things that I want to quickly get through, and then I want to get into some ministry time. The first one is love people. The second one is disciple, and the third one is multiply. Number one, love people. The first commandment. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. Of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus has an interesting situation. He has to choose one of his commandments, which is the most important. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So besides loving and having a relationship with God is to love our neighbor. So why? Why does does that have to be in the Bible? The reason is we live in a lost and fallen world, and so we actually have to be reminded. Most of the commandments exist because it's not human instinct to love thy neighbor. When people tick us off, does that commandment go away? When people are annoying and bratty and selfish, does that commandment go away? When people steal things from us, does that commandment go away? No, it doesn't. It's a commandment. In fact, it's one of the most important commandments according to Jesus. Loving people is not our human instinct. We don't just come out and we're like, oh my gosh, this whole world's amazing and I love every single person in it. Otherwise, we'd be God. So all that to say that love is a choice. And the reason why we have to choose to love people is because there's hurt people out there that hurt people. And I was in this situation when I first started coming to church, and I came in a broken person. I didn't have my life all together. I knew that I loved God, but I wondered if I loved people. And it was funny because I met and married Matt Hubbard, who loves people. He is kind of one of those people that just came out loving people. And then, so it was an interesting situation I was in because he wanted to go do all these things with all these people. And I was like, why do we have to hang out with people? Like, what the heck? And it's just, God is so funny. I'm a pastor now. Like, my greatest calling is to love people. But God is so good because what God will do is take you from where you're at and heal things and show you things and actually give you eyes to see people as God sees them. And then it's easy to love people. When you see God see people through God's eyes, it actually becomes much easier to love them. People can be annoying. That's why this commandment is in there. Right? I'm just saying how I felt before, not at the moment, but before sometime in my life. What I find so funny is most people have a lack of common sense. And, you know, I remember when we started a Connect group, it was against my will, but we started a Connect group. And so we decided to step out, and I'm like, all right, I guess we can do this. We can have, you know, people in our home and, you know, open up to people and love people and do this people thing. And Matt was so excited, and I was like, all right, let's do this. This guy shows up. I'm not going to name names, but a few people in the church know who he is because he's an interesting fellow. So I sent out an email. I do all like the administrative part of the Connect group. I let my husband be the people person, and I do the administrative part. I sent out the email. I'm like, can everybody bring something? Connect groups tonight. Please bring this or that, and see you at 6:30. Here's the address. Can't wait. So this guy shows up. I said 6:30. He shows up at 6. And I'm like, oh, you're already annoying. Don't show up early. I'm still trying to get my house clean. And so he shows up, and I'm like, open the door. Oh, hi. You know, come on in. He comes in. He brings a gallon of milk. I'm like, what the freaking heck? And he plops it on the counter, and he goes over to my couch, and he sits down, and he plops his legs up on the couch, and he lays down. He lays down on my couch. I'm like, what is wrong with people? What is wrong with you? Did anyone teach you common sense? And so here's the thing. I love this man. I love this man. I love this guy. But he needed to be in a Connect group so he could have people love and correct him in his awkwardness. And so God will bring people into your life to show you what's inside of you, because that's what happened with me. I'm like, why am I so irritated about this? Why can't I just be nice? Why can't I just love this man and be like, Jesus? Jesus probably would just give him a big old hug and tell him he's amazing. Tell him you can lay on my couch for days. You can actually just live here. You might as well just move in. But seriously, God will bring these types of people into our lives for a reason, and it's always a teachable moment for all of us to see how we can love people more and how we can get more influence in their lives, not by judging them, but by loving them. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly." And I wanted to read that scripture because so many people struggle in the area of friendships and relationships. And oftentimes they look out to the people around them and point at them why they don't have friends, but they lack looking at themselves as to why they don't have friends. And the Bible teaches us a man who has friends must be friendly. And I want to take it one step further to love your enemies, because the Bible puts these things in there because I know that God knows that we're going to face things in life where we don't know what to do. Our natural human instinct is to shut down, turn away, cut off, cut out, isolate. You know, the devil has a plan to isolate the world, and it's through all of these things. So in Luke 6:27, it says, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good those to who you hate, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you." If it's in the Bible saying that there will be people who hate you, there will be people who mistreat you, but we're called to pray for them, forgive them, and love them, it's in the Bible for a reason. Because God knows that we aren't just living in this perfect, magical, heavenly world, that we live in a world where we're called to live above a standard that the rest of the world lives at. Amen. So number one is love people. So simply, love people. Sounds so simple. When it gets down to it, can be a little challenging, but love people. Number two is disciple. I love our church because we don't leave people where they're at. And so anytime something comes up in somebody's life, there is massive grace and there's massive teaching and discipleship around it, just as equal. In Psalm 85:10, it says, "Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other." Which means, yes, we will love you. We're also called to be faithful. Yes, we're called to righteousness, and there will also be peace. Proverbs 24:26 says, "An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips." And so I just want to give you a couple examples of what might come up. These are things that come up in real life. These are things that come up in the real life of our church, in the real life of our connect groups. If someone confesses they have homosexual tendencies, what do? If someone confesses that they're having premarital sex, what do? If someone commits to a porn addiction, what do? These are all things that really happen in the life of our church. Just because we're Christians and we're saved doesn't mean we live out perfect lives. But what we've done at C3 is created a space for authenticity, for people to feel that they can actually share where they're at. And I wasn't going to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you. Yes, no, Holy Spirit? Yes. So my husband and I were not perfect Christians before we got married in the area of sex. I was not saved. I was 10... times 5% psycho, maybe 50% psycho. And I didn't understand why it was important to not have sex before marriage. So what did I do? I needed to tell my pastor. So I went up to Pastor Jurgen, not even Pastor Leanne. I went up to Pastor Jurgen after 5 p.m. service. No, actually, I think it was before. And I was like, before he's about to preach. And I was like, "So we have a situation. Matt and I messed up, and I don't know what to do. Mostly me. It was all my fault." He was still growing in the area of being a faithful man of God. And so But as I look back now, the response of our pastors was so beautiful. Did they leave it alone and just say, "Oh, that's okay"? No, definitely not. They let us know that it was not okay, and they taught us why. And they said, "If you guys can remain faithful for the next 6 months before you get married, if you've already repented, God has forgiven you. You've repented to each other. You've repented to God. gotten grace and forgiveness, remain faithful for the next 6 months, and you'll be blessed on the other side of it. That was so much more empowering than you two suck. You two are out of here. You two, you know, go, you're going to go to hell. You know, that's so, it was such a more empowering way for us to realize that we were empowered as Christians to overcome the sin that we had been in. And I tell you that, and I don't, you know, I'm not proud of it. It, you know, I'm quite, you know, I wish that it was a different way. But all of us have been in sin at some point in our life or another. And so it's the church's job, the church's pastors and leadership's job to navigate those situations well. And so here at C3, we are raising up leaders and pastors that know how to find a perfect balance of this love and faithfulness meet together, righteousness and peace kiss each other. Ephesians 4:25 says, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body." And so if whether or not you're in a connect group here, that's the place to be authentic. That's the place that men's and women's prayer, that you can find a trusted person that you know has fruit in their life. You always want to look at, judge a tree by its fruit. So look at someone's life, and you'll know if that's the right person to confess your situation to. Get prayer. The grace will be there for you. Get prayer, ask for forgiveness, and then we'll help you navigate through the situation. So you'll find that, yes, we're here to love another, and we're here to sharpen one another as well. It was so funny. So when I first started working at the church, we have these meetings. They're Wednesday meetings, and they're slightly stressful. You get, like, all the most passionate, heated people in one room to make really big decisions about the future of our church, and it's just hilarious. So it was one of my first one of these meetings, and there was, like, 15 of us around the table, and everyone's, you know, has their opinion about this one topic. And Pastor Jurgen starts talking, and I'm sitting across from Pastor Leanne, and at some moment, I must have rolled my eyes. And this is Pastor Jurgen talking, like, hello, what is wrong with you? I didn't even know I did it, but I must have rolled my eyes. And so, you know, she called me the next day, and she was like, hey, you probably didn't notice, but I wanted to let you know that that's actually not okay. And I was like, that's not okay, you're right. And I literally started crying. I was like bawling, and she's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, are you okay? I'm like, I just don't know, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to. But listen, our pastor noticed something that was going to get me into trouble in the future that immediately she called me out on. And so I thank God for someone in my life that can do that. And I want all of us to look at correction that way. I want all of us to look at when we get called out on something or point out, someone points something out. I want us all to have a heart to receive. I want us all to look at ourselves and say, okay, obviously this person loves me. Obviously they have the best intentions for me. Then I should take this as a good thing, even though it feels really bad right now, and know that it's going to affect my future in a negative way if I don't change. And so when people are in situations and they come forth with it, we want to be the people that look for the why behind the what. Right. So what's going on is not the matter. Because this person is having an attitude and they're showing up late for serving, or, you know, they're giving you an attitude about something you asked them to do, look at the why. Ask them the why. Find out what's going on in their life. There's much more to what you see. There's much more in that moment of my eye-rolling moment than what they saw. And I know exactly what it was. As soon as she said it, I melted down because there was all this stress and overwhelm, and that meeting overwhelms me, and I don't even know how to act and all this stuff, and I was trying to figure out where my place was and all these things, but it showed up in one small little thing. And so when we're discipling people, that's what the goal is, looking for the why behind the what. Amen. Number three, and lastly, I'll do this point quickly, and I can have the team come back up when you guys are feeling like really anointed to bring the Holy Spirit into this place. Yeah, within a few minutes, you're good. Yeah, I don't know how long it takes you to get up here. Like 2-3 minutes, I don't know. You don't have to like run, but yeah. Anyways, the third point is multiply. Multiply. So we love, we disciple, and we multiply. In John 15:4, it says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." I just love it when people are like, "I'm going to go do my own thing." They get irritated with church or a person in church. They get offended, and they decide, "I'm going to go off on my own. I'm going to go figure this out on my own." If you ever have a moment of feeling that way, I encourage you and probably need to challenge you to take some time to pray and ask God what is happening in that moment. Because the Bible teaches no branch can bear fruit by itself. We need one another. We don't only need a relationship with Jesus. We need a relationship with one another. When we're attached to the vine and attached to one another, we can multiply. You know what I love about our pastors is that they have the calling to raise and release people. And Pastor Jurgen has talked about it before, but he saw a vision when he first planted the church of pregnant people, that he was preaching to pregnant people, men and women, which is amazing. I wish that my husband could experience this pregnancy. It would be really great. But it's amazing because all of us have a calling and a gifting that is not just meant for us, but is meant to impact the world and along the impact journey, multiply into more little mini use. And I love that our church will multiply healthily. I love that our church will help disciple to a point where you are ready to be multiplied. And so with a teachable spirit and a teachable heart that's open to correction, open to a speaking into, then we can actually use you to multiply you. And it's not about, I don't mean to say use you, but what I mean is God wants to use you. God wants to use you in this world to impact and be an influence and multiply you and multiply others. Healthy things grow. And if we're a growing church, we're multiplying, we're healthy, and we're called to bear fruit. It's all throughout the Bible. God's called us to bear fruit. And just like I said, you can judge a tree by its fruit. And what you can do here at C3 is judge the fruit that we're growing. And we don't want to have, you know, Pastor Leanne preached so beautifully this morning. We don't want a big church full of empty names and faces. We want a big church full of healthy people who are connected well and growing well and that are bearing fruit in their lives. I will honestly tell you, one of the greatest delights in my husband and my heart is seeing other people flourish. And one of the things that breaks our heart the most is when people keep going around the same mountain over and over and over and not getting the breakthrough that God's called them to. And so I know that's the heart of our pastors here, is to constantly see people bearing fruit, and then discipling others to bear fruit in their lives and multiplying. And that's what the kingdom is called to. That's how we're going to make an impact on this earth. And during worship, actually, although I got some individual prophecies for people, God actually showed me that the church, C3 Church San Diego, is becoming a force to be reckoned with. It's becoming a force that cannot be reckoned with. That once we get the revelation of being connected together, that we are unstoppable. That we're a church that cannot be stopped. The growth will literally, it'll be like one of those little tumbleweeds that you see when you're driving through the desert. It starts small and then it just keeps going and rolling and rolling. And I know it's because God has placed a hand of favor upon a church that will talk about the sticky things, that will go there when other people won't, and that will help people bear fruit in their lives so they can live healthy lives and so they can live Christ-centered lives, following God, following Jesus. So let's be the church that disrupts the devil's plans to get people isolated and divided. The way we're going to do that is by loving, discipling, and multiplying.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.